Would you like to accelerate your career and reach your full potential in just minutes a day? Welcome to the LeadX Show with New York Times bestselling author and Inc. 500 entrepreneur, Kevin Cruz.
Hey, you're back again for more of the LeadX Leadership Show. Thank you for giving me your most valuable asset, some minutes of your time. Kevin Cruz here. We are once again going to help you to become the leader everyone is fighting to work with. Today on the show, I'm talking to quite the leader, a public company CEO. I'm not talking about any small public company. I'm talking about a multi-billion dollar company CEO. He is so down to earth. And we talk about authenticity and leading in hard times and more. Surprisingly, he suggests that it might be easier to be authentic in hard times than it is in good times. What does he mean by that? Before I bring you our guest, I want to once again remind you to visit leadx.org to check out the LeadX Academy. No hard sell this week. I am just going to read to you some of the titles from over 20 different on-demand webinars that are inside the system, which is like just a fraction of what we have to offer. But check this out. Fun as a Competitive Advantage. That's the title of one webinar. Communication Techniques to Engage Any Audience. 3 Steps to Find a Job You Love. 4 Essential Elements of a Productive Day. The Keys to Achieving Purpose in Your Role at Work. And we all know purpose drives engagement. How to Make Your Employees Happy and Your Company Rich. How to Write for Forbes. That's one of mine. Turbo Boost Your Productivity with Time Theming. Eliminate Hiring Delays Forever. If you're not outside your comfort zone, you won't learn anything. Meetings from Ordinary to Extraordinary. That's just a handful. And we add 1 or 2 webinars every single month. View it on the treadmill, play the audio, you know, when you're driving to work or while you're taking the bus, whatever you do, check out the LeadX Academy. Our quote of the week is, "The single most important ingredient in the recipe for success is transparency, because transparency builes trust." Denise Morrison. Our guest today is the president and CEO of Red Hat, the world's leading provider of open source enterprise IT products and services. He's an avid advocate for open source software as a catalyst for business innovation. Since joining Red Hat in January 2008, revenues have more than doubled under his leadership, and they're on the verge of achieving $1 billion of revenue in a single quarter. My mind is boggled. He's the author of The Open Organization. Our guest is Jim Whitehurst. Jim, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Great to be here.
Now, I always ask all of our guests the same first question, and that's, what leadership advice would you give to a new first-time manager?
Well, I think the biggest problem that I see that first-time managers have is they think there's a persona that they should act into. And what I always say is, unless you're good enough to go win an Academy Award, don't act like someone you're not, because human beings have an uncanny ability to smell insincerity. And when people smell insincerity, they don't think it's because you're trying to aspire to be something that you're not. They look at it and generally interpret it in the most pathological way. So what I always say to first-time managers is, be yourself. Be willing to say, I don't know. Be willing to say, hey, I'm learning. People appreciate that and have a lot of patience for people who are going to be open like that. But don't go in saying, well, I need to act like I know, or I need to be overly directive, or this is a prototypical leader that I want to be like. You need to be yourself and be comfortable in your own skin and learn how to be effective, getting people to follow you from who you are, not who you aspire to be.
Love that advice. And a follow-up to that, I'm a big believer in authentic leadership and everything you just spoke of. And where I myself wonder about it is, it's easy to be authentic in the good times. You guys have been on fire lately, so much good news, killing your quarters. Is it harder to be authentic in the bad times? How much of the bad news do you share? How much of your worries do you share with your team members?
Yeah, well, you know, before Red Hat, I ran Delta Airlines through a bankruptcy restructuring. So believe me, I've been in the bad times as well. And I guess in some ways it's easier, in some ways it's harder. And what I mean by that is it's harder in the sense that being open, you have to admit failure. You have to say, we screwed up or I screwed up, I'm sorry. And that's hard. And it's, you know, for your ego, it's hard. And putting yourself out there, it's hard. When I say it's easier, it actually is easier to get people to follow you when you open up and say that. I think in general, humans have an extraordinary ability to forgive if people are open and honest and transparent with them. So, you know, at Delta, going in and saying, look, we're in trouble and I'm sorry. And this is where we are, and it's going to be difficult. And, you know, I was part of creating the problem. I think we know what the solution is. People rally around someone who's authentic and willing to be open and vulnerable, frankly, in a time like that. So it's harder personally because you take a bigger ego hit, but it's actually almost easier to get people to follow you in a tough time if you're open and honest about it than otherwise, because they feel like they've given something back to you. It's like, hey, you were vulnerable. I am forgiving you. And there's almost this reciprocity around it, which makes it easier. But again, it's tougher for managers to start doing that.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Now, Red Hat has been a leader, not just in open source software, but actually an open approach to leading an organization, an open culture. I mentioned in your bio at the start of the show, you know, you even wrote a book on it called The Open Organization. And recently, you released your annual Red Hat Open Source Culture Survey. So what were some of the key findings in that survey?
Yeah, well, first off, just one of the reasons we find it important to do that is we're obviously a technology company, so we sell software. But 90% of the CIOs that I talk to, we spend 5 minutes talking about software, and then it all comes back to culture. It's, hey, we tried to go through a transformation to agile, and it failed because of my culture. We tried DevOps, and it failed because of my culture. And so getting people to change is not about giving people the tools. It's actually taking people down a culture journey associated with it. And I think more broadly, what we've seen is most large companies are successful because they're really good at getting people to execute against a prescribed direction. And in the 20th century, when the world moved slower and value creation was primarily around execution and efficiency, then getting really smart people with PhDs and, you know, Lean Six Sigma black belts to lay out a plan and get people to follow it was how you created value. Well, in the 21st century, you know, we're kind of past that. You know, the classic example, it's not about making a car 5% cheaper now. It's about how you get people to use a car more efficiently. So whether that's autonomous driving or ride sharing, whatever. So businesses across the board, value creation more and more is coming via innovation. And getting people to innovate is a very, very different thing. And it's all about culture. So many executives I've heard say, we've gone through this transformation and I finally realized it's all about culture. My people don't want to change. And so it is about culture. And so understanding what the components are in people's culture and the things that they need to make change, I think are really, really, really important. Some of the biggest lessons learned out of that is people do realize now that culture is one of the most important things. And so, you know, I'd say 3 or 4 years ago, what you used to get is, well, I need the tools and the technology. It's that I'm too siloed. It's about my legacy systems. But more and more people are recognizing that culture is a key part of it. About half the companies have started in some journey on a transformation around this. And so recognize that it's really important. And one of the things that really surprised me is IT is actually at the forefront of this. You almost think of IT, I would say many executives think of IT as kind of behind the curve because they're the ones dealing with the legacy systems and are often the long pole in the tent and getting things done. But because IT enables so many of these transformations, IT is definitely at the front line relative to marketing or manufacturing or sales. And we see that over and over, like over 80% of the organizations that we talk to, IT organizations have attempted some type of culture change.
Yeah, that was remarkable to me as well, that piece of data, and more relevant to, you know, here at the LeadX Leadership Show, it caught my eye that 23%, so almost one out of four, said they're going to be implementing or attempting culture change in leadership training, which I thought was interesting. And, you know, what are your views on traditional approaches to leadership training, and how might that evolve moving forward?
Well, look, I think two components. I'm glad to see people doing leadership change, because I think one of the biggest lessons that I have learned, both in going from Delta to Red Hat and talking to customers, is it's great that people fully start to recognize it's all about culture and culture change. The biggest problem then is people say, okay, therefore I need to change my culture. And the analogy I draw is culture is like morale. It is the output of a context. And so directly changing morale, frankly, is really, really easy. Give everybody a bonus and bake them cookies, and they'll be happy for a little while, right? But guess what? They were going to slide back to being unhappy, because whatever the contextual elements that are making them happy will take over. And most people attack culture the same way. They're like, my culture is unwilling to change. I need to attack my culture. What you actually have to do is attack the context in which that culture developed. And that starts with leadership. It's leadership behaviors. It's what you value. It's what you celebrate. It's ultimately who you promote. Certainly there are processes and systems around it, but so much of it is leadership. And so whenever I hear an executive say, my organization's unwilling to change, I always start saying, well, are you willing to change, right? It starts with you, right? Culture is an output, it's not an input. And so I love the idea of leadership training as a way to attack that, because again, it's culture is only going to change when you change that kind of context which generates it.
Yeah. Quick follow-up. Business writer Jim Collins has said in the past something that I thought was a little harsh. He says you really can't change culture. You can hire people to change that culture or fit that culture. He said it's about kind of the people you bring in. Now, I believe in hiring for cultural fit or cultural gain, but it seems like leaders, by changing behaviors, by changing ourselves, can move the needle on culture. Would you see it that way?
Oh, absolutely. And I'll go back to my time at Delta through the bankruptcy restructuring. Without a doubt, we got a substantial cultural change happening. I mean, we went back and said, hey, the reason that we're in bankruptcy is because we stopped thinking about the customer. We started thinking about cost. And the only thing that's going to get us out of this is kind of reigniting the long-term Delta tradition of excellent customer service. And you know, I think we did a really good job of that. And I think when people understand the context and the importance of it, and then they go do it for a while and they see the results, it's reinforcing. So culture is hard to change, but I think that comment of culture can't change is, that is correct. If you're not willing to change the leadership structure or the context, so leadership structure and messages, processes, potentially even organizational structures, then yeah, culture is not going to change because it's an output of those things. But if you are willing to change those, without a doubt, I think they're great examples of culture change. Delta is kind of one of many. I'd say, yeah, within Red Hat right now, we're going through, I would say, an augmentation, which would be a change of our culture, you know, around the customer. So we are really passionate about open source software and the power of participation and user-driven innovation. And historically, we've gone to our customers and said, look at the power of all this and this great stuff. And then we throw out this bucket of bolts and say, now you figure out what to do with it. So we've been through a very careful, continuous, multi-year journey to say, we love the power of participation in open source. We need to augment that with an equal passion for customer success and how we apply this power of participation to our customers. It's not something that happens overnight, but every speech I give, I talk about it. Every company meeting, we talk about it. We're adding in metrics around net promoter. And over time, that works its way through the culture. If you think it's going to be a 1 or 2 year journey and that you can just tell people, then it is going to fail.
What about your personal leadership journey? What do you do to evolve? Are you a reader? Do you have an executive coach? How do you keep evolving yourself?
Yeah, well, both. I'm a huge reader. I'm a huge reader of history and biography. I always say, though, with biography, you have to read these, especially around business leaders, of not, ooh, let me go try to be that person, but what can I learn from it? I always say, like, I love the book Steve Jobs. It's a phenomenal book. Walter Isaacson's a great writer. But most of that is what not to do, not what to do, right? And so I think that's a key part of that. I have an executive coach I meet with every other week, and that's been an ongoing relationship for 9 years now. And I do think that many leaders, again, get to the point where they're saying, well, I'm in charge. I kind of know. We all have an opportunity to continue to develop. And I encourage every CEO that I've had this conversation with, get a coach. Just to be able to talk things out is important, but we can always get better. And, you know, the environment's changing around us. What it took to be a great leader even 10 years ago was different than what's required today is the context around us changes.
Great messages, Jim. How? What are you most excited about these days at Red Hat?
Well, look, we are, open source, which is what Red Hat is, you know, completely kind of built around, you know, 10 years ago, that was all about cheaper alternatives to existing software. So, you know, we have an operating system that is, we would argue, cheaper and better than Windows or Unix. And we have an application server was cheaper and better. And that was great for a while. And we continue to save our customers a lot of money with that. But one of the amazing things happening now, really because of the Web 2.0 companies, is all the net new innovation that you hear about is happening first in open source. So big data, machine learning, AI, DevOps, all those things are happening first and almost exclusively in open source. And so our ability to help our customers not just save money, but to be able to innovate, to create whole net new businesses is just exploded. So much of the driver of Red Hat now is not, hey, we help save you money. It is, we can help enable you to compete in a digitally transformed world. And so it's accelerated our growth. It's positioned us, you know, to be able to help our customers even more, which is just a phenomenal opportunity and responsibility.
It's exciting stuff. I'm old enough to remember the dawn of the open source movement and a time when people never thought there could be a billion-dollar open source software company. And, you know, you're obviously have proven all of those naysayers wrong as you continue to grow and have phenomenal growth yourself. Jim, how can our listeners find out more about the Culture Survey and Red Hat?
Well, look, we have multiple ways to find out about this. And I just want to say is this is as much a passion as it is something around our business. You can go to redhat.com. You can find information on the culture survey. You can go to theopenorganization.com. We have a ton of material there. You know, many of the practices and principles around this, we've tried to get more people involved in. So all the content there is totally free. The proceeds of the book, The Open Organization, all go to charity. You know, we've even open sourced something called the Open Decision-Making Framework to help managers learn how to make decisions in a more transparent way. That's open sourced on GitHub. So there are multiple ways. We have opensourcestories.com, another place that you can see how people are applying these principles outside of technology. So, but I'd start off with redhat.com and theopenorganization.com are good places to start.
That's great. We'll put all of those links in the show notes and the articles. Jim, thanks for coming on to the LeadX show.
Great. It's great to be here. Thanks so much.
Hey, before I go, I have to ask a favor. If you liked this episode of the LeadX Leadership Podcast, please take 1 minute and leave a rating on iTunes. Don't know how? Just open your web browser, type in leadx.org/subscribe, and it will bounce you over to iTunes. Just click on ratings and click some stars. Leave a comment if you really want to get crazy with it. And when you're done, let us know by sending an email to info@leadx.org. And we will send you back a special link that will let you in to our private VIP group on Facebook. Just in the last month, we sent out 2 or 3 dozen different books from our guests. We gave everyone free and early access to our new online personality assessment. And our VIPs even got to ask IBM Watson their management and leadership questions. I hope you have a great week, and I hope you will also remember that leadership is influence, which means you are always leading. This week, lead with intent.